At first glance, things appear to be pretty good in the Middle Eastern Kingdom of Jordan. Real estate is booming, luxury hotels are often filled, and tourism is doing well. That's despite two terrorist attacks last year. But many Jordanians say the kingdom, which has been considered an oasis of stability and moderation in the region, is much closer to trouble than it appears. NPR's Peter Kenyon reports from Amman.
Jordan's bustling shopping centers, hotels, and restaurants present the image of an economy thriving despite its dangerous neighborhood. In embattled Syria to the north, Israel and Hamas-led Palestinian government to the west, and to the east, a war-torn Iraq. But analysts say beneath the surface prosperity, the danger signs are clear. In a sign of the times, one reason Jordan's five-star hotels were full last week was a special forces exhibition that drew military and political delegations from some 60 countries to Amman for a peek at the latest counterterrorism paraphernalia. As the lightning-quick 2003 war in Iraq morphed into a sustained and bloody insurgency that neither the American nor Iraqi forces were prepared to deal with, the initial wave of Iraqis who fled to Jordan turned into a steady exodus. Official figures put the number at around 500,000, but most analysts and officials agree the number is probably closer to 1,000,000. For those Iraqis who can afford it, Jordan is still a safe haven, but they're feeling the chill of a welcome that's wearing thin. In a restaurant in a comfortable Amman neighborhood, a young Iraqi couple, Bara and Mohammed Farouki, share coffee and an Arabic water pipe. After 3 years of increasing stays here, they finally bought an apartment. Bara and Mohammed say most Jordanians are still friendly, but suspicion and scrutiny have intensified since November, when Iraqi suicide bombers infiltrated the Jordanian capital and killed some 60 people, including many Jordanian wedding guests and workers at three popular hotels.
Yes, there's a big change at the borders and the airport. When I arrived with my son, I was held for 4 hours at the airport. This never happened before.
I came before her. I had a kidney problem. I showed them my medical reports, but they held me for 3 hours.
We know lots of Iraqis here who have had their cars smashed by Jordanians. Why do they lump us all together? Not all Iraqis are bad, maybe a few. It's different now.
Hundreds of miles to the east, a rare thunderstorm passed over the desert at the Jordan-Iraq border last week. 88 Palestinians without passports were stranded here last month while trying to flee targeted killings of Palestinians in Iraq. Jordan refused them entry, and they're back inside Iraq, subsisting on United Nations emergency aid. Several miles down the road back toward Amman stands an old refugee camp from the early days of the war. Jordanians hope it's not a sign of more refugees to come. A steady stream of trucks inches toward the border gate, some loaded with goods, but many empty on their way to pick up cars in Jordan to bring back to Iraq. 32-year-old driver Saad Khalil Haraj says these days the news is as bad as ever. He says the road is no safer, it still costs too much money and bribes to travel safely, and even then that's no guarantee. If it weren't for the money he has tied up in his truck, he'd look for another job. For most of the Jordanians who worked in this electrical manufacturing plant outside Amman, looking for a new job wasn't a matter of choice. Arab Electrical Industries is one of the firms that prospered under the largesse of Saddam Hussein, who bought huge amounts of Jordanian products. Manager Hashem Al-Kaisi says since 2003, however, $15 to $20 million in annual contracts with Iraq have all but evaporated, and the company has been forced to close production lines and lay off more than 500 workers.
2006 is worse than 2005, 2005 is worse than 2004, and it is going downhill. This year, since the beginning of January, it's been 90 days, the borders with Jordan being closed for about good as 60 days. You cannot do anything. You used to pay at the border $300, now we pay $2,000 per truckload. That's bribes for who's in charge of the Iraqi border at that time. It's getting worse and it's getting worse.
With Iraq still making up 90% of Kaisi's market, he's become an avid follower of developments there. He sees recently announced talks between Iran and the U.S. on stabilizing Iraq as another opportunity for Tehran to increase its influence in the region. Like many Arabs, Kaisi expects the Iranians to outmaneuver the Americans.
You know, they're intelligent men. Actually, they are, you know, dictating to the U.S. government. I know the U.S. now is the biggest and the strongest country. But I think they got the Americans by the short and curlies, as they say.
Instead of cheap oil supplies and a large market, Iraq is now providing Jordan with the spending of wealthy Iraqis fleeing the chaos at home. This new money, combined with capital from Syria and the Gulf states, has driven the price of homes and apartments out of the reach of middle-class Jordanians. In his real estate office in the upscale Abdoun neighborhood of the capital, Wael Al-Jabari says the rise in prices was breathtaking.
Abdoun, we used to buy 1,000 square meter for about $200,000 to $250,000. These days, you'll pay $1 million. It really went up real high. Some prices went up between 200 to 500%.
In a further shock to an already stressed middle class, the government is wrestling with how to present its third gasoline price hike in a year. A fourth is due later this year. Meanwhile, security issues continue to flare. Last month, the military tribunal sentenced five Islamist militants to terms of up to life in prison for plotting to attack tourist destinations. Some analysts are beginning to wonder if this new, more dangerous Jordan is here to stay.
I think this war destroyed Jordan, destroyed Jordanian economy, destroyed Jordanian politics.
Columnist Abdullah Abu Rahman says the flood of Iraqis in Jordan is hurting on two levels. Poor Iraqis are competing with Jordanians for entry-level jobs, and the rich ones have driven up prices. His biggest worry is that in their rising frustration, ordinary Jordanians may turn a more sympathetic ear to radical Islam, something he says is already happening in the south.
Before Iraqi war, the Al-Qaeda movement in Jordan, it was very weak. People hate them. They are bad people. They are extreme, you know. After Iraqi war, they became to look to them as heroes, you know, as fighters. They are fighting the American army and they are defending our nation.
That perception changed somewhat with the Al-Qaeda-linked hotel bombings last fall. Retired General Ali Shukri says most Jordanians know the difference between the Islamist politicians seeking a stronger voice in Jordan and the radicals who espouse bloodshed. But Shukri says President Bush's frequent claim that he's making the world safer by taking the fight to the terrorists rings hollow. He says to a growing number of people all across the Middle East, as well as in Europe and Asia, it's now obvious that what the U.S. policies have done is to bring the bloodshed to their homelands.
This is true. I mean, everybody in the region is feeling it. But did that stop the terrorists from hitting somewhere else in the world? We saw what happened in Spain. We saw what happened in England. I don't think it did.
Shukri believes King Abdullah may be able to keep a lid on the increasing economic, social, and security pressures buffeting Jordan. But for how long?
It's no good for any country to be living next to a country where practically there is a continuous conflict. And 3 years is a long time. Long time. And we hope to God that this will somehow be controlled and simmered down before they end up in a state of civil war.
Peter Kenyon, NPR News.